call a command performance. I was commanded to speak about this topic. Rosh Hasharan, one of the classic Rishonim, he asked a very simple question. Why is it that Avraham Avinu felt compelled to send Eliezer far away to seek a marriage partner for Yitzchak? After all, in his words, Halolo of the Avodah Zarah, v'halolo of the Avodah Zarah. Was idolatry both in his hometown, if you will, of Aram Naharaim, and in his new country, Eretz Canaan. Answers the Ran, correct, with respect to idolatry, both were equal. But with respect to the character traits, Canaan is notorious. Kamasi Eretz Canaan, Lo Sasu. Aram Naharaim wasn't quite perfection, but there was a higher level of character development in Aram Naharaim. And he adds, theology is more readily learned and unlearned, programmed, reprogrammed, deprogrammed, as opposed to character traits, which are much more difficult to change. And therefore, the first thing to look for in a spouse, explains the Ran, is proper character traits. We call today midos tovos. This is as true today as it was when the Ran wrote these words and when Avraham Avinu, our founding father, made the decision to send Eliezer far away. And it's equally true on both sides of the ledger, whether a man is looking for a wife or a woman is looking for a husband. Exact same rules apply. The most important thing is midos tovos. The Torah teaches us in a different context, es biti nosati le'ish hazeh. The context we're not going to go into now, the Pasuk can say it with Dvarim. But some of the Balei Musar said, man is looking for a proper marriage partner for his daughter, the first thing to look for is la'ish hazeh. He should be what we call in Yiddish a mensch. Should have proper midos. Lacks proper midos, nothing can compensate. If he has proper midos, well, he will be a good husband. Doesn't mean he's going to be Superman. Doesn't mean he's going to be an overachiever. Doesn't mean life with him is going to be super exciting. No guarantee. But if he's a mensch, you know that you can be happy with him. Of course, it works both ways. For a young lady to be able to interact appropriately in the dating process with a mensch, it's imperative that she be a mensch. After all, this characteristic of menschlichkeit, of midos tovos, is something which is common to both partners. It's going to work. A woman who in her own mind has her character traits refined, by definition, is going to be looking for a man who has character refinement and will find in him someone who is attractive because of these very traits, and vice versa. So like anything else, the dating process begins what we'll call self-definition, self-analysis, It's self-growth. Many years ago, I had a conversation with the very illustrious dean. I'm not sure what her title is right now. Mrs. Orlean. What's her title now?
Dean.
Okay, I got it right. Many, many years ago, when her children were dating, I was just at the wedding of her grandchild, so we're talking about more than a generation ago. And she said her children, she has only sons, her sons would come over and say, "Ma, this young lady asked me a question. I never thought about it before. And she taught me an important lesson, that when you date with someone, they're going to ask you questions, you got to think about them." And her sons are, each one is more outstanding than the next. And they went through all the right, you know, they went to the yeshivas, they went to our high school and to our college and learned even beyond, got smicha. But they never thought about these questions because they were just sort of, you know, as the outstanding students that they were and are, just, you know, moved through the system. Excelled in their Torah studies, excelled in the secular studies, moved right along, and then suddenly a girl asks, "Hey, what about this?" Never thought about that. So Dean Orlean taught me, it has to be, well, 25 years ago, how many more before that, I don't know exactly, but many years ago, that the first step is self-definition. Who are you? Who are you? Before you want someone else to marry you, who are you? You often don't think about some of these things. At the same time, my advice, this is titled advice, it's the only advice, you can feel free to ignore anything I say tonight. My advice, that after thinking about who you are, this should not preclude who you will be. It's dangerous to marry someone purely based on future projections. There are too many people we know who say, "I'm going to be the Rachel to the next Rabbi Akiva." It worked once, and I don't know if it's going to work every time. Can't marry based purely on future projections. At the same time, every person should be in a constant growth mode. Every man and every woman. Don't make hard and fast decisions which will disqualify Mr. A, B, or C, such as, well, he has to be willing to live in Israel no matter what. Precondition. I just came back from Israel, I'm on fire, and he has to, if he's not willing to guarantee, sign on the dotted line, to live in Israel, I'm not going to go out with him. I think that's a bad decision. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to Israel. But you're cutting down the field. You're saying, no matter what, no. One of my sons, my children were all married, full disclosure. My daughters all went to Stern. And one of my sons, someone proposed, a very nice family, but he needed a precondition. He's going to live in Israel. He wasn't ready to do it. He lives in Israel anyway. All right, somebody else, but don't make preconditions. You know, life is takes many different bounces that you can't predict in advance. Even as one example, there can be many other examples. I have some of my, even two examples of people who said, no matter what, and they had to eat their words. One of my chevra said, he comes from a family of two PhDs, it's both parents, and he himself is a PhD now, and wasn't then, I don't think they're that age. No matter what, it has to be a young lady who went to college, no matter what. If she didn't graduate from college, forget about it. Well, sure enough, he married a young lady who never set foot in college. They're very happily married, they're already grandparents. Then he had another one. He had certain issues. He was a little more on the Haredi side. He said, no matter what, listen to this now carefully, not a girl from Mechlala. Disclosure, my daughters all went to Mechlala. Sure enough, he ended up marrying a girl from. So, don't make hard and fast statements. Shouldn't be made, but not by young men or by young women. You don't know. Never say always, never say never. You have to be more open-minded. don't narrow the field. Don't narrow. Yeah, he's not a mensch. Knock him out. On my say so. There's some shock. But he's brilliant. He's tall, dark, handsome, rich. He's not a mensch. I'm assuming that everyone in this room is a mensch yourself. Maybe it's too strong of an assumption. But if you are, have refined your midos, you yourself as some of the fine character trait, and this fellow lacks those fine character traits, it's not a good idea. That's what the Ran taught us, the Balabusa say to us, and speaking us out to the Gishazer, has to be a mensch first and foremost. System of dating, which involves an inordinate amount of pre-checking in advance. It can take weeks or months until every last detail is checked out appropriately. I'm not opposed to checking things out, but things sometimes get carried away. And again, sometimes there's that definition of has to be exactly like me. Off this way or off that way a little bit, forget about it. It wasn't that many years ago when people weren't that way. They got along. That'd be exactly the same ideological niche. There's an expression today, you have to be on the same page. Right? Same page? It'd be a big page. It may be the same millimeter. This much emunas chachamim, this much chumras, some of these categories that they throw out. You know, it's shouldn't pigeonhole people necessarily. You have a little bit of a. Years gone by. Who ever heard of a resume? Unheard of. Resume meant you wanted a job as an accountant somewhere, so maybe you had a, they got a resume. But to go out on a date, you need a resume, huh? Today, I'm told it's de rigueur. Every girl's day has to have a resume. Okay? Then it's a question. You put your picture in, take your picture out, and some will apostle this, some will apostle that. You know, you can't win. You can't win because difficult to depict from the perspective of a young man what he's looking for in a wonderful young lady. And some of what I say now is somewhat countercultural. Chazal was somewhat critical last week's parasha. But about Dina, about Tetze Dina, it's honest, she's out there. People think if they're out there, then that makes them a much more eligible young lady, because the more you're out, the more you're seen. Chazal has a somewhat different approach. Not so fond of a Yatz Onis, somewhat critical of both Dina and even her mother Leah. Chazal say on that pasuk, Rashi alludes to it. Look at Rashi and Parshas Bereishis, Shalot Yatz Onis, on the Kibshua. If you look at the Kliyoker, not for now at length, the Kliyoker in Parshas Chayesara says that Eliezer was looking for the exact opposite of a Yatz Onis, looking for a young lady who never went out. But if she never went out, how's she going to find her? Contradiction. So the first word out of Eliezer's mouth after the introductory prayer is, Hakre. Says the Kliyoka Hakre means Lashon Mikre. Just a fluke, a coincidence. He wanted a woman who, as the rule, never went out. That has the additional level of tzniyos, which he was looking for. In point of fact, he got his wish. Rivka went out for the first time. No one knew who she was. She wasn't one who used to hang out in the... Where they hang out these days? Internet cafe? They used to hang out by the well, right? We know about the well. In the middle was the pizza shop. I'm not sure people would hang out. But she wasn't one of those who frequented these places. So no one knew who she was. That's what it says in the Chumash. Simple translation. She was a Besula v'ish lo yida'a. No one knew who she was. That's not what Rashi says. But the Kliyaka says. So much so, he was attracted to her because of a bit of chesed. He asked her, bas mi at. Which means, who are you? Not polite. He's supposed to ask as Boaz did, Lemi hanaro hazos. Who is she? Why did he say, who are you? The answer was, he tried, who is she, and no one knew who she was. So therefore, my advice is not necessary to run around all over the place to be seen by everybody. Because individuals who have a greater sense of character refinement understand what modesty and privacy are all about. The truth is, as I tell my students who are men, they have to look for chesed and tznius. I tell women, they should look for exactly the same things. Bidiyuk, chesed and tznius. This is the idea of Dessler, Zatzal, it's kutrus ha-chesed. We tell every single couple upon their marriage, if you will try to help one another, you'll be happy. If you try to take from one another, you will not be happy. Told, after I mentioned this last time, Rabbi Neuberger Shlita, one of our very distinguished Rosh Yeshiva, said, there's a book called Men Are From Mars and Women From Venus. Which a book exists?
Yeah.
What's the subtitle? Who knows the subtitle? I don't know either, but I was told the subtitle is How to Get the Most Out of Your Marriage. Sequel was that the one who wrote the book is a brilliant man, has been divorced 3 times. And the question is why. So I was told Rabbi Neuberger's name, because he didn't know what Rev Dessler wrote. He was trying to get the most out of his marriage for himself. But the way to stay married is to try to give your spouse the most that he or she can get out of the marriage. This is dating advice and marriage advice. Both. Sometimes dates can become intense in the very beginning. They start arguing for the first date about hashkofa and this and that and oh, cool. All the many, many issues that the Jewish community has to address. It only gets more complicated as time goes on. I don't know. I thought it's important before you even before you go out, you know a little bit about the other person. Before you start honing in on, I want to have 2 kids, I want to have 5 kids, and they're going to break up over that in the first date. Stop with this. I want my kids to go to this school or that school. What, you're not married, you have no kids. What are you talking about? First, get to know each other. Dating today has become, in some ways, just, such a high intensity from the get-go. You have to say, whoop, are we exactly? So, I'm one of the few individuals that was blessed by Hashem to go out with one woman and marry her. In my house, we have that blessing as well. Baruch Hashem, it's a great blessing. And so when I came to this very block to pick up a young lady, where did I go? It was a woman who was familiar to me, recommended by 4 distinct family members. You gotta do it. So before you throw stones at me, let me back up and tell you a story. I heard the story from Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky, Shalita, the dean of the South Shore Yeshiva, everyone from the Five Towns area. He was really the founder of almost of the Jewish community in the Five Towns. He told me that some years back, he was approached by those who wanted to write a biography about the elder son-in-law of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. His name is Rabbi Shiska. Passed away young, and no one knows too much about him. Apparently, Rabbi Yama was a classmate and doing well from his youth. So they asked him, who was the shatran between Rabbi Moshe's daughter and this brilliant student, Rabbi Shiska? If you look carefully, in the last response of Eben Ezer, first volume, it's written to the very distinguished Bocher, Rabbi Shiska, was then, I think it was written in 1938, before it was a family relationship. So he was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. But nonetheless, doesn't mean that he would marry Rabbi Moshe's daughter. But who was the Shatran? Who was the Shatran? So Rabbi Kamenetsky told his interviewer, well, they met in the Young Israel. For those who don't know, there's a Young Israel on the Lower East Side, East Broadway, moved a little bit. The truth is, that's where my parents met. But he kept asking, but who was the shatran? They met the Young Israel. He couldn't understand, you know, the tzakata. How can you meet without a shatran? If a Moshe's daughter, according to the story, met without a shatran, I don't see why you can't. Okay, we're in the right place. The Young Israel? Okay. It's a good place. There's still a lot of Young Israels. I'm a rabbi in Young Israel. If you meet my shul, I'll be very happy. Well, there are other places to meet. You know, I spend my summers in Kiryat Moharasha. They boast of hundreds of shidduchim over 50 years. I'm told there's a new camp with the Rosh HaTevis, halachically approved shidduch camp. Wonderful places to meet people who have good meters. That's what it means. They have to work in that camp. You have to put out a lot. It's wonderful. Anyway, the interviewer was already half swooning. Then he asked Rav Kamenetsky Binyamin, so where did they go on a date? Where did Rav Shiska take his wife? I think passed away this past year. She lived a long life and he passed away in the 70s. For over 40 years, if I'm not mistaken. Where did they go on a date? So he said, what do you mean? They went to the movies. I keeled over and the book was never written, to my knowledge. After I told you that, I can tell you that I also went to the movies on the first date. The movie was called Z. Up maybe on your internet, Google. See, it was a movie about the Greek Revolution or something. They outlawed the letter Z. It was as clean as could be, to my recollection. And wanted to just break the ice. So I picked her up right here, 34th Street. Walked to the somewhere movie. She may have been a little bit shocked. There's a guy going to the movies, but it was a clean movie. And we talked a little bit on the way there, talked a little bit on the way back. Then we went to have some ice cream on 34th Street somewhere. And then next time, it was really bold. Went bowling. when you want to impress, you do things which you ordinarily can't do. The third date was a long walk from here to Central Park, and that was when things got, you have to go slow, I don't know how it is today, but in those days it was the young man who was responsible for seeing where you go on a date. I'm not sure it's true anymore. I don't know what goes. The world has changed a lot since then. But I think when my children were getting married, even his last son to get married, he was not married all that long, less than 7 years. And he was trying to figure out, I'm going to go here. It's apparently still a responsibility of a young man to some extent. So hopefully he'll make a wise decision. You can feel free to veto it. Feel free. There should be a little bit, hang loose a little bit at the beginning. Just get to know each other. Don't start right away with the heavy stuff. Again, I'm giving you advice. It takes two. I'm only giving advice to half an island. I may give the same advice to the young men, but it may not be the same young men with the same young women. I don't know why you connect. See what they put together. Often consulted by Wire Connects on their halachic questions. As you may know, it's a branch of something called Saw You at Sinai. Have you heard that one? So they came to me many years ago to serve as their halachic consultant. How can I say no? Every person is supposed to try to help with Shidduchim. I'm not so good at these things. I can't, the cup to put people together so well. I'm not so good. Got a potential to a bar mitzvah. So this particular case, I had a call from a classmate of mine that his daughter is off the charts brilliant. We've heard that before. Sends me the resume. Yeah, this one was right. It was a very bright fellow at Bocher in my shul at the time, was working at IBM, one of those. So I suggested, maybe, hey. So they got married, Baruch Hashem. He told me that it was suggested before, but he wouldn't listen. To me, he listened. Okay, so when we first got married, my wife and I got married. My wife made three shidduchim, one after the other, between three of her classmates, her high school classmates, before my wife studied in this venerable institution known as Stern College. She was a student. She lived in Far Rockaway, in a school which is then called High Line. Want to hear of it? Yeah. Way back. You know what's in Harline now? What's on that campus? You know what's on that campus now? Darach Torah. World's turned a little bit. Same campus. No, that's where my grandson's studying, but it's the same. There's an expression, Chazal Torah Machzeres al Achsanya Shalom. My wife studied many years in Harline, and now her grandson's in a new school called Darach, in the same location, are studying. Anyway. So, three of her classmates with three smicha students were my friends. One, two, three. She made two more, in fairly short order, with two other smicha students and two young ladies, one from our community in Riverdale, and one who did us a big favor, did a tremendous chesed, and we paid her back. After that, she stopped because she doesn't know the young men well enough. Doesn't know the young ladies well enough. She doesn't want to just put two and two together like this. So I felt when they asked me to help out and spend time with the Soy with Sonia and then its branch, the Wire Connect, how can I say no? But let's say I could do a little bit to help out with Shidduch. I tell all my students, men or women, I'm not so good at making suggestions, but I'm pretty good at checking them out. It's called networking. Rabbis have networks, and they get to the bottom of things that other people can't always get to the bottom of. Which leads to another interesting question of disclosure. What should, must, may be disclosed? There's a Yiddish expression, it's sort of half Yiddish, half English. In yede klozet sedah skelet. There's a skeleton in every closet. Something about somebody, if it's not you, it's a member of the family, there's something or other or somewhere. I don't think you're required to divulge everything. Even if because the particular issue that you have, let's say, for example, the health issue. Not all health issues have to be disclosed going up front. I don't think it's necessary. Depends how serious it is. I was asked, let's go again, going back to the grandparents already. Must it be divulged that a young man is a diabetic? That's a significant medical condition, no doubt about it. My response was, yes, but not at the beginning. But if you divulge it at the very beginning, so the young lady will say, there are many men in the scene. Why should you even go out with a young man who's diabetic? I said, you know, you should divulge it at the halfway point. At the halfway point of dating is like a radioactive half-life. You just you know what the half point is. Well, it depends what group you come from. Maybe if you're from a satmar, I guess two dates, it's probably past the halfway point already. There's a famous line, which I tell, that there was a great rabbi named Rav Moshe Bick. This is one of the Racha. Wrote an Aryeh Yeshiva way, way back in the early days. And he became a very choshev rav in first in the Bronx and then in the Borough Park. And he wrote an article in the Yiddish paper saying, a couple should not get engaged unless they go out at least 8 times. Dating advice. So the Satmar Rebbe, the original, said, it's terrible. And he quoted a pasuk. The Rebbe was a very sharp man. He took psukim and he, you know, made his own interpretations. Chassidic Pshat. Katzti b'chayai mipnei benos ches. I read a few weeks ago. And Rivka said, I can't have this chitai woman if Yaakov takes one. So he took the word ches to mean ches. It's 8, you know, elephant. Ches. It's terrible that there are these 8 times. That's taking so long. Ridiculous. Which Rav Moshe Bick responded as follows. Sat meruv as a groyser mistader kiddushin. There's many weddings, they do 5 in a night. But I'm a sadegit. And I know that if they have these quickie things, the 2 men of them don't last. So I think you should go out even more than that. So if Satma is 4 and Rav Moshe Bick is 8, so for us it should be at least 12. Let's keep going up, you know. And it shouldn't be one after the other. Dates should be spread out. Give people a chance to think about the previous date. I think once a week is fine. And obviously, it's not etched in stone. Think about it, you know. Don't just snap decisions are no good. Think about it. And when 6 days pass, do you want to see him again? Not really. Not really. That time, you know, it's an expression, Mashiyasa Azman lo yasa asechel. The time does things that the intellect cannot do. So if you figure it out, if you have 12 dates once a week, it takes you how many months? 3. So I tell everybody, 3 months, that's a nice time. Of course, that's speaking from personal experience. It's good for me, it's good for others as well. Obviously, this doesn't mean it's etched in stone. It took another 3 months to get married from an engagement. Okay, as I recommend that too. I can't, you know, there's so many considerations nowadays, people flying and going, and this one is this one is that. I'm aware of all these cheshbonos, but just give me what I think is something which is a goal. Was a young lady who was on certain pills for anxiety. And she asked me, but she divulged it. I gave her the same advice. Not at the beginning. Divulge it the halfway point. It was like a sheepish kind of a situation. After 1 month, she told the boy told his mother, and the mother broke it up. The mother starts calling me. I knew the mother. She starts yelling at me. Yelling in a nice way. Look what you did. My son had a whole month of his life, and he was emotionally beginning to get attached to her. That's exactly the point. And then it was all for naught because she's on anxiety pills. Meanwhile, she's married. Him, I don't know. I hope so. But it's all like this. It's not fair to demand that a person divulge everything at the beginning. We are concerned with that disclosure. Disclosure is important. Especially when it comes to mental illness, people have a habit of not disclosing, which is a churban. Please read the article written about this by Rabbi Dr. A.J. Twersky. A disaster. You need to be right away. This wasn't even a serious matter. But she was still, you know, what? Where did you get this from? I told her where Moshe Feinstein wrote in the tshuva. It is a mind-boggling tshuva, and I wouldn't rule this way. But this is how far he's concerned that it shouldn't ruin someone's chances to get married. It was a woman who was 20 years old, had never had a period. Nothing. Zero. So Moshe says, well, you know, maybe it's going to come later. Maybe if she gets married, she'll have a period. That doesn't sound like science. That's where I come from. And then he said, you know, since it's, you know, no period likely means no children. Just know what it means. If 3 years pass after you got married and you went to doctors and nothing helps, then you should agree now in advance. You'll take a get from him without any conditions or anything like that. And therefore, if worse comes to worse, the young man who was not told this in advance will not have lost that much. What does that mean? At 22, he was the best bachur in Lakewood. You know, many such people. One of the best bachur in Lakewood. And now he's 26 and divorced. But he didn't lose that much. Huh? But his heart went out for this young lady. So I told this to this mother. This is written by Rav Moshe. This family had a lot to do from where we saw it. Rav Moshe. I said, this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein said. You lost 1 month of your son's life. Come on. You have to be concerned on both sides. It's hard to know what to disclose and not to disclose. It's an halachic question. Everyone of you has to have a rav. You have to have someone who can talk to about halachic matters, whether it's someone for your synagogue rabbi in the community where you grew up, or maybe a teacher that you had in high school or here in Stern, or a teacher you had in Israel. You should have somebody with whom you can discuss halachic matters. If none of those categories yield somebody, so find someone in some other category. Maybe you have a brother, he has a rav or something. You have to find somebody because they're all questions. And I don't know the direct full answer myself, honestly, but some guidelines. They're very serious questions. Okay, I spoke too long. I promise I'll leave time for questions and answers. So there's much more for me to say, but I'll open the floor to your questions. Please don't hesitate to ask questions because, you know, lo habay shanit lo medet. If you don't ask questions, you're not going to be able to get the answer to your questions, at least not from me tonight. If you want to ask me privately something, that's call me up. My number's in the Bronx phone book. Mr. Cement said there may be some questions to submit in advance. She never gave me any. I guess there weren't any. It was said on the flyer I just saw. If you want to submit, you can, but I guess nobody did. Am I correct? Are you in charge? Nobody, no questions. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a call, like, as a reference? Is there anything that you're supposed to say or not?
That's good. That's a good. That's not part of the title officially. We're talking about dating advice. This is, what advice should we say? Reporting advice. You get a phone call about some young lady. Says you're your roommate, a classmate, a neighbor, a friend, and you know something horrific about this person. Absolutely horrific. You'll have to say, oh, she's great, she's the best, she's fantastic. And completely leave out what you know is really very, very bad. Chas v'shalom. As the Torah tells us, lo samod al dam reyecha. You shall not stand idly by as your friend's blood is being spilled. This boy was checking out the girl that you asked about. to have his blood spilled by the horrific situation related to this young lady that he doesn't know about. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, you know, the Yetzer Hara is so strong. When we're supposed to be silent, we're all yapping in Lashon Hara. When we're supposed to say something, oh, okay, it's Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. Can't say it. That's crazy. How you say it, to whom you say it, that's very, very complex. Very complex. The Chafetz Chaim, as a matter of fact, in the Sefer, says this is what's called the toelas. He's saying something negative for a positive reason. And he gives no less than seven conditions before allowing you to say something negative about somebody. Seven. I used to carry it around in my wallet, really put a little card, look up and make sure, okay, seven conditions. You can look it up in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, it's in English too, if you want the English. Among the conditions, you know it for a fact, you're not exaggerating, there's no other way to get this done. If you can say, it's not for you. So it's not for him. It's not for him. And it won't go out. That's okay. Okay. You don't say more than you have to say. But to omit a blatant deficiency, you know how to do that. You can equivocate. You can hem and haw. We'll figure out, you know. I get these questions sometimes. Any health issues? Sure, I know. I do know, but I was not authorized to say. So I just, you know, equivocate. So some person will say, okay, I'm out of here. And some will say, listen, a lot of health issues with people. Especially if the issue is in the family and not with the person, him or herself. Which, you know, in today's world, the more charedi you get, the more secretive it is. Don't have a child be treated by the therapist, because then the sibling won't be able to find the shidduch. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't know. And people suffer terribly because of this stigma and secrecy and all kind of stuff. I don't believe in that kind of stuff at all. Okay? I hope I answered your question a little bit. Yes?
How does someone balance the good place to meet boys like Hask or Young Israel with the sneeze of not going out?
That's an excellent question. Every young lady has to make her own decision. Some will say, I'm not doing this. I refuse to go to these places. As a matter of fact, they'll say, if I go there, I'll be disqualified. They look down upon by certain other elements. You know, we have a bit of a problem in a certain slice of the world. If you belong to the book called the more charedi world, a young lady turns 18, 19, 20, and the parents are working overtime. But mamish, overtime, unbelievable. Phone calls and endless. I'm telling you, endless. Just yom of a life. That's one sector. There's, you know, the more modern sector. They're all meeting, in co-ed schools, co-ed camps, whatever. They're just meeting naturally the way it was. And then there's so many people in the middle. The parents come from a more modern background. They don't know about working overtime. No one worked overtime for them. On the other hand, their children are not doing what they did. So the people are left neither here nor there. That's really bad. I agree. That's really bad. You got to figure out one way or the other. You know, that's a little bit of why your connect comes in. It's sort of in between. And there were boys refused to go on Wire Connect weekends. Past minish. It's degrading for me. Well, I was summoned to give a Sichas Musar in our yeshiva, which they have once a week. It goes back some years ago. I came to Beis Medrash. The Rabbi Shech the Shlita had given a psak. They wanted to make sure the same amount of young men and young ladies, the people should go. And I got up and I said, you know, you broom guys, we talk about Das Torah. Das Torah, everything's Das Torah, Das Torah. Rabbi Shechter said, go, you're not going, where's your Das Torah? This is Wednesday night. I think I'm Muslim. Baruch Hashem, by Friday was full. It's an equal number. I'm not sure it came from that, but I understand the nuances. I'm not going to go to this weekend, I'm not going to go to this event, because it's as if I'm not from enough or something like that. I have to tell you that there's a group called Agudas Yisrael of America. I don't often go these days to their convention. They used to go years back. They had one thing about Shidduchim. So my wife and I both went on a Friday morning, some years back. I think it was Stamford, Connecticut, I believe, some years ago. Inve Geffen. What they were doing was taking young men and young women, 25 and over, single, and making what we'll call singles events under the banner of a goodest Yisrael of America. That's a... Okay. They waited until 25. Until then, they're supposed to just come to Shidduchim. Now that they're 25, nothing's happened. It's what they call in that part of the Shidduch crisis. They take the bold move of making singles events, and they did it, you know, appropriately, etc., etc. Why wait until 25? Your boys can afford to wait, but you know what? That's the whole new theory of the Shidduch crisis, because boys marry younger girls, and the population is growing so quickly that, you know, every 3 years there's that many more young ladies than young men of the 3 year cohort from earlier. I'm not a statistician, but there's some truth to it. They're now encouraging boys to go out earlier, marry girls you're older. Nothing wrong with that. It's encouraged. Some of the greatest gadola married girls, okay, they were girls at the time, who were older than them, who were taller than them. You know, there's all these silly things that people look at. Sugar. But no, that's the way the world works. We've got to try to break some of those preconceived notions. Yes?
If you're calling your reference, what questions should you make sure to ask?
If you are calling for reference?
Or like your Rebbe is calling your reference. Like
what do I ask?
Yeah, what do you ask?
Trade secrets. I try to find out from my rabbinic colleagues who will more likely speak to me than they'll speak to you or anybody else, because you know rabbis have networking. It's a mutual society. People ask me, I tell the truth. So if they ask them, I hope they'll tell the truth too. As a matter of fact, when I have to call someone who I don't know, it's almost a waste of call. They'll say, the boy goes, great. Brilliant. I'm not sure what their standards are. What do they mean? You know, I don't know the vocabulary. It's not like the matter of Shidduchim in general. If it's something you don't know, the vocabulary is different. I like to talk to people who I know already from before. Then I ask, you know, we filter things. I'm always filtering things. They tell me the water is filtered over here. The reports are also filtered. You know, you don't say everything because it's inappropriate. Inappropriate. Many things you find out, you should... Now, again, especially at the beginning, it's inappropriate. Some questions of yichus. I was asked this last week. I'm not going to go into the yichus question. So the person who knew about the yichus issue was called. So do I say right? I said, don't you dare say anything. The boy's going to go out with the girl, may come into what they call the one and done, or what's two or something else, I forgot what, two and through, okay. So why should this fellow or his parent or the family know about this yichus issue if it's going to be a one and done or two and through? You have a few more dates. Then if it's appropriate, if it's some kind of issue, it should be. Rabbi Chalap, Shalita Adin, told me that certainly Yerushalayim circles it's take us to an extreme, what should be done on the first date. He said that in certain segments of Yerushalayim society, the old Yishuv of Yerushalayim, when the boy comes to the first date, so he comes into the girl's house, you're not gonna believe this, okay? They walk out, they're in the living room, you know, they walk out, they're alone in the living room. But the way it's set up is that the boy sits down here facing this way. And the girl comes in from behind and sits down here, also facing this way. And they chat for an hour. They don't even look at each other. Shot. They took the theory to its extreme. Why should this fellow, going to have to go out with X number of girls before he finds the right one, have in mind the picture of all these beautiful women? Maybe his wife won't be as beautiful. Maybe she'll be more beautiful, but why should he even look at her? If If the first date went okay, the next date, they'll sit two sides of a table. I heard this from Rabbi Balak. So I mean, I don't recommend that at all. Far from it. But you understand this theory behind it is the same. No, it's not. The practice is much different, but the theory is the same. You don't have to know everything on the first date. So that's how I do it. Networking. I try to talk to Rabbi. Anyone have a question? Yes.
Why do you think people are refusing to go out with someone from a different background than them?
That's not a crazy thing. I've always believed that similar backgrounds is a good thing. I'm not saying that everyone has to marry a spouse with an identical background. But similar backgrounds is simply, as I just said before, the vocabulary is similar. They know what they're talking about. They're coming from a similar kind of a household or a similar kind of a educational, ideological, religious sector. I think it's a good thing. I don't think we should look down upon that. I think it's very. I just won't make any hard and fast rules. It has to be. I told you like this. But in general, I think if they're compatible from their families and their religious worldview, I think it's a good thing. So I wouldn't look it down if people want to find a young lady from a similar background. I think it's a good thing. Or a young man from a similar background. Good thing. Just don't make it a sine qua non. It must be that way.
No, because some people do make it so extreme that they will not go out with the girl who went to a co-ed school, for example.
I think that's outrageous. I think it's insane. Remember, the co-ed schools, when she was younger. Right? Co-ed schools that they're talking about, they're not talking about Harvard. They're talking about high schools. Right? So she went to high school. Okay. I told you, my wife went to Harlem. Co-ed school. It didn't bother me in the slightest. And that's, I don't know, maybe today is a little bit different. There are more options. But, you know, a generation later, can't judge a young lady by what school she went to in high school. I mean, it's a factor, not denying that. But there's so many young men or young women, you know that, they go there, they flip out? Is that the right word to say? Should fade back. But many of them are, they flip, and they remain flipped until 120. So who cares where they went to high school? So a young man who makes it a sine qua non, and she went to a co-ed school, I'm not going to even think of inquiring about her. I think that's a mistake. As I said before, the same with a young woman. Went to a co-ed, Frisch. Pick an example. Her present company probably is probably some people from that school. It's a nice school. Let's go in. So what? So what? I would never rule out a boy or a girl went to that school. I mean, I picked that one. It just came to my head first. I don't want to make any judgments about anything other places. I think it's one of the big ones in this part of the world. Okay? That's my view. If somebody asked me, but she went to this school. So what? So what? What is she now? Where is she going? Is she going up or is she going down? Does somebody have a guy, he's going down and she's going up, and then it turns out no good for the opposite reason? I see too many of those. Yes?
Even if we don't make hard set rules, like he has to have a college degree, what if our parents do?
That's another issue. Parents, of course, mean the best for their children. No question about it. No question about it. But parents don't always know their own child. Parents view their own child as what they would like their child to be. Not who they are. There's a famous ruling of the Ramah in Yoredeya, in Chuzkiyut Aveim, according to the Maharik, that a child need not obey a parent when it comes to Shidduch. The child wants to marry this particular woman, and the parent says, no, you don't have to obey. Why not? So the real reason why not is that it's very possible that the parent is making an unreasonable request. The case in point of the Ramrik is an unbelievable case. This is a man has a son, and the son is accused, listen now, not accused of, doesn't wear a black hat, maybe he doesn't wear his tzitzis out, there was the rumors going around that he was living with this young woman. And then I wanted to get married. And the father said, no, this girl is a slut. Pray tell, what about your son? He thinks his son is a tzaddik. His son was no tzaddik. His son was the one who was rumored to be living with this woman. That's the case that the Marik is talking about. So the boy need not listen to his father, because his father has a giving unreasonable advice, unreasonable request. He should marry the girl. People think that their son or their daughter is woo, and therefore no man is good enough for my daughter. No woman is good enough for my son. That's absurd. And therefore, parents should be spoken to. By whom? Well, that's why there are rabbis. Go back to the rabbi, go back to the Rebbe, of your parents. Say, you know, this is reasonable. Come on. It's reasonable. Why are you standing in the way? So it works. If it doesn't work, parents have been told too much in marriages, both before they happen and after they happen. It's a problem. They mean so well, that they mean for their children's welfare, no question about it, but they don't have it always picked right. Do the best you can. I'd say it's a problem. Last question. Anybody? Yes?
Once you find that a person has good midos, how do you know that they are like the right person?
We call it that chemistry. Chemistry. I'll say one thing. Chemistry, whatever you want to call it. Have to be sure before you get engaged. Don't get engaged. Well, maybe. No. This is the most important decision of your whole life. I repeat, the most important decision of your whole life. Don't reach it until you are sure. How are you sure? Well, A has good midos. B, you're attracted to him. Everything, you know, you may see he has a fault here or there, but so do you. But you can see yourself living with this individual for the rest of your life, giving to that individual, as Rav Dessler says, raising a family together, being happy together, you know, whatever little quirks you saw which turned you off at the beginning, that's totally natural. Totally natural. So many people who, after one date, said, get me out of here, get me out of here! Go one more time. And they get married. You know, this happens so many times. But when things start to gel and it looks good and it sounds right, you know, and I do think it's important to, whenever possible, to meet the parents on the other side. That's important because you do marry into a family. And when I was younger, I said, forget the family. My wife was always smarter than me. She still is. She said, you can't say that. Family is very important. Very, very important. As I get older, I see how right she was and how wrong I was. The family is very important. You have to be comfortable. You know. Then you make a decision. Sometimes things aren't perfect. I understand that. And sometimes you have to, you know, forego something that you would maybe in your mind's eye was your dream growing up. I wanted, fill in the blank, tall. I don't want to say more than that. That's the tallest. Born with it. That's not the same thing which is required. You want that the guy should be much taller than you. And he's your height, because you with your flats. So what? If you can get over it, you know, he has all the other good qualities. Even as only one example, because you can't fault someone for being whatever height he happens to be. And it looks right. You feel comfortable about him. Go. Don't hesitate. Get engaged, get married, build a family. And have a wonderful life together. But if you're still having doubts, I really think you should go very slowly. And no matter how many dates you need, after a while, I'll just end with this problem. There are the perennial daters. You schlep on for months and a year, and it's still going on, and the guy can't commit. Run away. You can't commit after that point. It's just impossible. Impossible. No matter how good and kind and smart, they can't commit. Marriage is commitment. That's what it really is. after a certain point, whatever it is in every society, there has to be a commitment. I wish you all the bracha that, with or without my advice, you should all be privileged to marry well and build wonderful homes in Israel.
Amen.